He's got a knife! Everything was underwater. Hatham's teeth were bared in a snarl, blood and spittle dripping from his jaw. The gray cloaks were frozen in midair, springing toward him as Hatham took one step forward and flicked his arm toward the nobleman, the manacle dangling from his wrist as a streak of silver flashed out of his hand toward Elias. The lordling blanched and watched himself shrink behind Amatha an instant before the knife took him.
What is up, you guys? We left our last episode on quite the cliffhanger. Hatham and Randall infiltrate the jail to rescue Amatha from Elias's clutches, but the brawler ends up getting knocked unconscious before he can escape. I totally should have said spoiler alert on that. If you're not caught up on that episode or any other, I will have a link to the full playlist down in the episode description, so you can check that out there. I'll also have a couple of recap videos down in the description to give you a sense of where we are in the story. I also promise that I will be dropping a couple of new recap videos for the episodes of Act 2 in just a few weeks. All right, that's enough out of me. I will catch you guys at the end of the episode. I'm Josh Call, and this is Last Coliseum.
He should be here by now, the Kadari said under his breath. Amatha was huddled between the two gray cloaks manning the gate, all three trying to stay close to the warmth of the coals glowing in the old iron brazier. Her rescuer, he hadn't given his name, even when she'd asked, stood out under the moonlight, seemingly impervious to the pre-dawn cold. Am's breath fogged as she wrapped the thick gray cloak tighter around her shoulders and joined him outside the glow of the torches.
He's coming.
She tried to reassure him, staring out at the dark shape of the garrison hunched across the yard. Above the wall, the stars were guttering out one by one as the black began to leach out of the sky.
You told him to meet us here?
The sellsword didn't answer. He grumbled something under his breath that she couldn't make out, adjusting the straps on the knives crisscrossing his chest and the short sword that was half concealed under his cloak.
What are you doing?
She asked as he pulled up his hood.
He pointed. The carriage is on the south side, past the wall. Tell him the sellsword says take you to the safe house.
He turned on his heel and started across the yard toward the garrison. Am hurried after him.
You're going back in?
She could feel the eyes of the two gray cloaks on her.
I'm coming with you.
He looked back at her with scorn.
Get to the safe house. He hardly broke his stride. If you want to see your Reaper alive again, do as I say.
She stopped in her tracks, the small hairs on her nape prickling under the stares of the keepers by the fire. The Kadari sped across the parade ground, finally disappearing into the shadows surrounding the garrison as above a sliver of moon dipped toward the horizon. The door closed with a thud, and she stood there for a long while after, her stomach and fists and jaw clenched as she watched for any sign of movement from the dark building.
Get up! Get up! We have to go.
Hatham was dragged out of his dark, dreamless sleep the way you wake from a nightmare, all at once and with his pulse roaring in his ears. The spider's man was standing over him, one hand curled around a fistful of Hatham's shirt while the other swished down and slapped him in the face. Pain flicked across the brawler's cheek, dampened by the narcotic that was still pumping sluggishly through his bloodstream. Randall reared back to hit him again.
I'm awake.
His thoughts came slow, and his tongue felt thick and fuzzy. His mouth tasted like ash, and he turned his head and spat in the puddle of dried blood that crusted the floor.
What time is it?
Dawn.
The brawler's stomach churned. He grasped the sellsword's hand and pulled himself to his feet. His head throbbed.
Come on.
Randall jerked his head toward one of the tunnels.
We have to get out before the watch changes.
He wrinkled his nose.
You smell like Where's Amatha?
Out. She was in her cell on the top floor of the garrison.
The torch he'd brought down was jammed into a crack in the wall like a makeshift sconce. He stepped over the bodies on the ground to retrieve it.
She's unharmed.
Maybe it was the lingering grip of the narcotic, but his relief swept through the brawler. His knees buckled, and he let out a long, dry sob, catching himself on the edge of the table. The scabs that were beginning to form on his hand broke open and bled. He looked up at the girl, still out cold, still dangling from the hook with her chin dipped against her chest. Hatham's cloak was in a heap around her feet. He stumbled toward her, his head still spinning a little as he scooped the cloak off the floor and clasped it around her shoulders.
"What are you doing?" snapped the sellsword. "There's no time."
"I'm not leaving her," Hatham grunted.
He cast about and found a ring of keys lying discarded on the floor near the corpse of the torturer's prentice. Pausing to unlock the manacle that was dangling from his own wrist, he lifted the girl off the floor with one arm while the other snapped open the lock on her wrists. She slumped in his arms, her body as insubstantial as shadow. Randall took a step toward him, a dark flush creeping up his cheeks. His dark eyes shone like twin embers in the torchlight.
"You're gonna get us killed," he swore. "If they see you without the cloak, I'm not leaving her,"
Hatham said. He swaddled the cloak around her as best he could, his arms hooked under her knees and armpits. For a moment, it looked like the sellsword was going to press the issue, but he turned on his heel and plunged into the tunnel, the torch bobbing in front of him like a fairy light. Hatham padded after him with the girl's head tipped against his chest. Before he left, he scooped up the bloody knife on which he'd cut his hand to ribbons and thrust it through his belt, just in case. This wasn't the tunnel he'd come through, which wound through the cellar under the kitchens. It branched and twisted and doubled back on itself like the bowels of some mythic beast, and Hatham dimly wondered how deep the catacombs ran underneath the city. He almost lost the sellsword in the dark. Randall didn't lighten his stride at all as the brawler trailed after him, weighed down by the girl and the vestigial grip of the grainy powder. He followed the afterglow of the passing torch reflected off the slick stone walls. He didn't breathe easy until he found the rough-hewn stairs that climbed to a wooden door reinforced with iron bands. The Qadari was waiting for him at the top of the steps. He'd stowed the torch in a wall bracket, and he waited with his hand on the door while the brawler climbed the stairs. His gaze flicked down to the girl in Hatham's arms only briefly, his jaw tightening under his dark snarl of beard.
"Straight through to the west gate," he rumbled. "If they see us, run."
He shouldered open the door and led the way out. They were at the foot of a set of stairs that switched back and forth to the upper floors, and gray light shone through window slits at regular intervals. Hatham grit his teeth and sped after the sellsword as he disappeared down an adjoining corridor, his head bowed and hood drawn. In his arms, the girl stirred, and he felt a faint murmur against his chest. He shushed her.
"I'm taking you out of here," he whispered.
When he glanced down, he saw that her eyes were open, and they were vivid blue. She whispered thank you, her voice ragged, and she slung her arms around his neck, lacing her fingers together.
"What's your name?"
"Ulyssa," she croaked, her eyes drifting closed, her cheek pressed against his chest.
"Ulyssa,"
he repeated, noting in the light of the low burning wall lamps the dark streaks of blood on the smoke-colored cloak. His own tunic was just as bad, and little flecks of dried blood peeled off his face and fluttered in his wake like flakes of ash.
"That's a good name, Ulyssa."
10 steps ahead of them, a door burst open, and 2 greycloaks stepped out into the corridor, yawning and adjusting their weapons. They locked eyes with Randall for half an instant before they found the brawler, ragged and bleeding and clutching the bundle of women swaddled in a keeper's bloody cloak. They hesitated for only a moment before clawing for their swords. The instant was all Randall needed. One of his many knives flashed out of his hand and buried itself to the hilt in the first keeper's throat before his sword was halfway out of its sheath. His comrade just barely managed to free his own weapon in time to turn the first swipe of the Qadari's short sword. He looked so relieved at having parried the stroke that he didn't see the knife in his other hand. The guard had just opened his mouth to shout for help as the curved blade punched up through the soft flesh under his chin and turned his eyes to glass. He dropped in a heap as the spider's man sheathed his short sword.
"Someone will have heard that,"
he grunted, stooping to snap the clasp of the second guard's cloak. He left his knives sheathed in the bodies to stop them bleeding everywhere. There was a broom cupboard nearby. Randall kicked the door open and hooked the dead keeper around the ankles. Hatham took a step toward him. Ulyssa had buried her face in his chest and was trembling.
"We have to go."
The Qadari nodded. He dropped the keeper beside the broom cupboard and scooped his cloak off the floor, holding it out to Hatham. He nodded to the girl.
"Get out of here. I'm right behind you."
Hatham hesitated.
"Go."
He draped the cloak over the brawler's shoulder and went back to stuffing the dead keeper into the broom cupboard. There was no use arguing. He could push forward without him or stay and wait for reinforcements to come. And even if they didn't, they probably only had minutes left before the watch changed and their means of escape evaporated, if it hadn't already.
Alyssa, he heard himself say, can you walk?
She told him she could, her voice small and frightened.
Good.
Haytham lowered her feet to the floor, ready to catch her in case she fell. She steadied herself against the wall but kept her feet. The keeper's cloak was only slightly bloody. It was a damn sight better than his shirt, and he drew it around her shoulders. His eyes found the girl's.
You're gonna have to run.
They burst through the doors into the breaking dawn. Haytham grunted as he shouldered them open and set the gash on his arm bleeding again. Alyssa ran next to him, holding the cloak closed as best she could to keep herself covered, her stick-thin legs flashing white as the sun bared its nose over the keep in the east. The streaks of cloud overhead were like molten gold, and the dew on the grass gleamed with the rising morning. The guards at the gate saw him coming. With relief, he recognized the one who'd tried to hide his face 3 hours earlier. They lurched toward the big oaken gate reinforced with iron and pulled it open to usher him through. And there, in the sliver of daylight between the big doors, was Amitha. He almost sobbed. She was wearing the gray cloak, but the hood was down, and her flaxen hair was matted and lank around her shoulders. His stomach clenched. As he drew close, he saw that her cheeks were flushed and guttered with tear tracks, and her eyes were wet.
Haytham, she rasped. Haytham, I'm sorry.
The watchman pulled the big doors wider, and he saw the gray cloaks. They flanked the fiddler in a neat double line, all of them holding spears with their crossbows slung at their sides. As soon as the gate was open, they marched through in perfect lockstep. Haytham backed 3 steps out from under the shadows of the wall, motioning for Alyssa to get behind him even as the keepers encircled them. They lowered their spears in deadly unison. Only then did the bastard come forth from where he'd been hiding, his boot heels clicking deliberately against the flagstones. His hair was perfect, his doublet free of creases. Only the deep, sleepless circles under his eyes betrayed that he was anything less than totally at ease.
I was wondering when you'd come,
murmured Elias Whiterose, slinking past Amitha to approach the wall of Keeper Steel.
Haytham.
His heart was thrumming like a caged bird. He hadn't slept in days, not since Shiloh had promised him that prudence and patience could spare him what Elias's own pride could not, crossing blades with the Reaper before hundreds of screaming peasants. He would have done it, too. He'd come back from stalking the White Hart with a sort of steely-eyed resoluteness that he was going to die. If not now, then at 80 with in his bedsheets and his brains turned to mush. All men must die. But surely death, that inky enveloping black to which all men went and from which only God and Haytham had been spat back out again, surely it was better than the waking death of chasing ghosts through his own mind day after day. Of course he would come for the girl. Haytham was hardly unpredictable. The only thing left to do had been to wait. He'd had the keepers waiting in formation all night for the moment to strike, taking nips from flasks hidden under their chain shirts when they thought Elias couldn't see. Let them. If they got the Reaper, he'd buy every man a cask of the finest rum his gold could import from the Azure Gulf. He had to bite his lips to keep from grinning when he stepped out from the guard tower and drank in the sight of Haytham surrounded by bristling spears, his head snapping back and forth like a cornered animal. Elias had missed one chance to make him a pincushion. He wouldn't miss his second. He sidled past the fiddler, who stood flanked by 2 keepers, and met the iron-gray eyes of him who'd made Elias's life a kind of hell these past 2 moons.
You've given me quite the runaround, the lordling admitted.
He scrutinized the brawler's flinty expression for any reaction.
I half thought I was losing my mind, but I knew it wasn't a ghost.
He could feel the smirk spreading on his cheeks.
The Reaper, back from the dead.
His eyes flicked past the brawler, and he nodded. Immediately, one of the Greycloaks sprang forward, twisted the spear in his hands, and swung it like a baton at the back of Hatham's head. The brawler heard it swish through the air and turned just in time for the half to crack him clean across the face, hard enough for the Greycloak to drop his spear and jump back, wringing his hands. The blow knocked Hatham clean off his feet, and he slid a foot across the slick grass in a heap as the other keepers lurched forward to pick up the dropped spear. The dark-haired girl who'd run out of the garrison with him, who was barefoot and huddled under an oversized keeper's cloak, screamed and cowered as they brushed past her.
"Elias, don't! Please don't hurt him!"
came the fiddler's voice behind him, choked with worry.
"He spent moons trying to kill me, Amitha," Elias snapped. "He hasn't given me much choice."
He crept closer to the wall of keepers. Hatham had pushed himself up onto his knees, a shiny pink wheel rising on his right cheek. Elias couldn't help himself.
"How did you do it? Crawl back from the void?"
Hatham met his gaze with a look of abject loathing, and he rose shakily to his feet.
"And for what? To kill me? You had to have known you never stood a chance."
Hatham still didn't answer. He bent his knees and chambered his fists in front of him, as if he'd catch the next spear the Greycloaks thrust at him. Elias remembered well that old ready stance. Devil only knew how many hundreds of fights he'd watched from the sidelines, betting everything in his pockets on the Reaper. He'd always split the take down the middle with Hatham after the brawler broke his opponent in the moment and manner which he and Elias had coordinated beforehand. It felt like another life.
"Well," snapped the nobleman, "you're not going to say anything. You spent how many years waiting for this moment?"
He fanned his arms out in a gesture of mocking magnanimity.
"Here I am."
It was a long moment before the brawler spoke. When he did, his gaze trailed across the hard-eyed faces of the keepers surrounding him and the girl.
"We were brothers,"
he rumbled, his voice low and rasping.
"I'd have died for him."
His eyes flicked to Elias.
"He put a knife in my side."
"Now that's not fair," muttered White Rose, feeling heat creep up his neck.
"You put that knife there yourself."
He'd never understood it. Hatham and Elias had run their grift for years, but as soon as the brethren got involved, when the stakes weren't a few crowns but life and death, the brawler's pride had gotten the better of him. Elias had to protect himself. Guilt had trailed him for a while after, but not anymore. His only regret now, as he stared into the Reaper's soulless gray eyes, was in not making sure he'd finish the job.
"He's a coward and a cutthroat,"
Hatham told the Greycloaks. To Elias, he added,
"You're no better than the Free Nation."
"Don't listen to him," White Rose spat. "You don't know shit about the Free Nation," he told the brawler, inching dangerously close to the line of soldiers between them.
Hatham shrugged.
"I know you. I know you'd gut your own kin."
Out of the corner of his eye, Hatham saw a few of the cloaks on the other side of the circle trading sidelong glances with each other. He flushed dark with anger. Hatham fanned his arms out in that same mocking gesture.
"And that you're afraid to face me."
Elias laughed. It was shrill and piercing, and it cut through the low rumble that floated over the wall as the city began to wake up. He saw movement around the periphery of his vision as the keepers who were trading shifts on the wall noticed what was happening below.
"You don't get it," he said, shaking his head. "I'm not some blind drunk knock-knuckles you can tempt into doing something stupid. You can't goad me. I'm not afraid to fight you. It's beneath me."
He snapped his fingers, and the cloaks who were flanking Amitha seized her by the arms and marched her forward. The brawler took a step toward her automatically, and immediately the keepers were jabbing their spears at him, snarling at him to back up. They marched her up next to Elias, who never looked away from the Reaper.
"This is what you chose?"
he asked her, motioning to Hatham, who'd taken on that cornered animal look again.
"He's a ghost of himself, a shadow. Look up there."
He bobbed his head to the keep. The sun had risen just high enough to catch the holdfast's 1,000 windows. They shone like diamonds in the morning light.
I'd have given you all that.
Hearing him, the dark-haired girl who'd been cowering behind Haytham lurched past the brawler and threw herself at Elias.
My lord!
The greycloaks in front of the nobleman had to jerk their spears out of the way to keep her from running herself through.
My lord, please! I haven't done anything wrong! Please, my lord, show mercy!
The keepers, who had caught her by the arms as she lunged toward Elias, threw her back. She went sprawling, her legs flashing white in the morning sun, and came up with grass stains on her knees and down her forearms. Elias hardly looked at her.
Take her inside, he told the nearest guard. Let the warden sort her out.
No, no, please!
She disappeared in a tangle of gray as several keepers pounced on her. The others closed the gap around Haytham as they carried her off, their spear tips nearly grazing his chest. In the end, it took 4 of them to remove the girl, still fighting and thrashing the whole way. The cloak she'd been wearing came off in the fray. Her naked chest was flushed and bleeding from a dozen infected cuts that ran down her side. By now, there were keepers streaming out of the garrison, some of them in uniform and some still in their nightclothes. They parted, holding the doors open as the knot of guards carrying the screaming girl disappeared inside. Elias waited until the doors boomed shut.
You have nothing else to say?
He asked the brawler. He was surprised to find that he felt a little disappointed.
This might be your only chance before they hang you. You're a monster,
Amitha whispered through her teeth. White Rose looked at her. She was trembling.
If I were a monster,
he told her under his breath, advancing on her with menace,
I'd have eaten you by now.
He ran his tongue across his teeth, and she recoiled. He looked back at the brawler.
Well, Haytham?
For a moment, it looked like he might say something. Then Haytham spat at him, a reddish-brown gobbet of snot and blood that hurtled between the 2 greycloaks in front of him and splatted against Elias's closed mouth and chin. The keepers gasped. The lordling recoiled, ripping the cravat from around his neck and mopping his face. When Elias spoke, his voice was soft and full of violence.
Take him.
4 keepers sprang forward and pinned the brawler's arms to his sides. Haytham roared and thrashed against their grip. There were too many of them. Another keeper unslung a set of wrist irons from his belt. Elias looked back at the fiddler. Her eyes were screwed shut, and her face was pointed at the floor. The nobleman seized a hank of her hair and wrenched her head back.
No, you watch.
She opened her eyes, tears streaming freely down her cheeks. It lit a coal of twisted pleasure low in Elias's belly.
You did this.
She opened her mouth to say something, but it was swallowed by another savage roar from the Reaper. He wrenched himself free from the greycloaks who were holding him and slammed his shoulder into the gut of one hard enough that his comrades had to catch him as he fell. Immediately, Haytham spun on his heel and smashed his forehead into the face of the guard on his other side. The keeper's sallet split open Haytham's brow, and blood went sheeting down his face.
He's got a knife!
Everything was underwater. Haytham's teeth were bared in a snarl, blood and spittle dripping from his jaw. The greycloaks were frozen in midair, springing toward him as Haytham took one step forward and flicked his arm toward the nobleman, the manacle dangling from his wrist as a streak of silver flashed out of his hand toward Elias. The lordling blanched and watched himself shrink behind Amitha an instant before the knife took him.
No!
Something heavy and hulking smashed into him, and he and the fiddler crashed onto the wet grass. She landed on Elias's chest and immediately scrambled to get off him. The knife had punched clean through the greycloak's chain shirt, and he was sprawled where Elias had been standing not an instant before. The blade had taken him high on the chest, an inch above his heart, and he clutched at it with the disbelieving fingers of a man who didn't understand he was dying. Elias climbed gingerly to his feet. The keepers had driven Haytham face down onto the grass. There were at least 6 of them piled on top of the brawler. They beat him savagely with armored fists and hobnail boots and the butts of their spears. The Reaper bucked and struggled, but they held him fast, and before long they had snapped irons around his wrists and ankles. They didn't stop beating him until Elias called them off. Even then, one of them stayed crouched with his knee on the small of the brawler's back.
"Hathem, son of none,"
came Elias's breathless murmur, watching blood pool in the grass around the brawler's battered face.
"Reaper, I arrest you in the name of Dolphus Femerial and the Siren Faith, before the eyes of heaven and all these witnesses."
He swept a hand toward the Greycloaks, their faces flushed and chests heaving. Beyond them, the guards who'd seen the commotion from the garrison and up on the wall were rushing across the yard to join the others.
"Cirrus, have mercy on you." He gave them his back. "Take him away."
It took nearly the whole dozen of them to carry him into the garrison. Even with his hands and feet in chains, he thrashed and fought, snarling the whole way. Amitha had picked herself up off the grass, and she wore a look of dull, disbelieving horror as they disappeared into the garrison. She shrank away from Elias as he advanced on her.
"You're free to go."
He bobbed his head toward the west gate. She cocked her head slightly as if she didn't believe him.
"I'm a monster of my word," promised Elias.
She glanced at the gate. For a moment, it looked like she might run for it.
"Amitha."
He'd closed the gap between them, close enough to kiss her.
"Just remember, if you ever even think to stand against me again..."
She slapped him. The nobleman smirked, savoring the sting.
"Suppose I deserve that?" he murmured.
He looked past the fiddler at one of the keepers who was lingering nearby. "Escort the lady home," he told the soldier, who snapped to attention immediately. His eyes met Amitha's as he returned the man's salute.
"We'll be in touch." "Get off of me, you s***. I said I'm fine."
Elias looked back. There was a knot of gray cloaks clustered around the man who'd taken the knife that was meant for White Rose. Already Elias had been thinking of the visit he'd have to make to the man's family, the honorary knighting the dead man would enjoy for valorous whatever and meritorious some such. To his surprise, the dead man was shaking off his comrades and rising to his feet with impossible vitality, ignoring the hands they proffered to help him up. Wincing, he grasped the knife jutting out of his chest and pulled it free. He made as if to toss the weapon onto the grass, but he noticed Elias watching him, dumbstruck, and he immediately saluted.
"Lord White Rose."
It took Elias a moment to remember how to speak.
"I'm in your debt. Just doing me duty, my lord."
He bowed and extended the knife to the nobleman, hilt first. The tip was bent.
"Thought you might like to keep this, sir."
Elias was staring at the rent in the man's chain shirt, a little more than a finger's width across.
How are you still standing?"
The keeper hesitated. Sheepishly, he pulled off his gauntlet and tossed it onto the grass. Peeling the chainmail away from his chest, he slipped his hand into the neck and withdrew a small steel flask. Elias took it, turning it over in his hands. The extra steel had saved the guard's life. There was a puncture mark on one side of the flask, and the other side was dented to a needle point. The knife hadn't punched through.
"Someone up there's watching your back,"
Elias told the guard, his eyes flicking skyward.
"What's your name, keeper?"
"I could use more men I can trust up in the keep." The guard flushed pink. He couldn't keep himself from grinning. He told Elias that his name was Notting, and he'd like that just fine. The sellsword watched them carry him away from his shadowy vantage under the wall. He'd slipped outside during the fracas, unnoticed by any of the Greycloaks, who gripped their crossbows as if fate might give them a chance to shoot the Reaper dead. Randall was mildly relieved when he didn't break free as they hauled him away, for Hathem wouldn't have made it 6 steps across the yard before catching a score of bolts through his chest and back. There was a crossbow dangling by its strap from the nub of a broken torch bracket at the entrance to one of the guard towers. Randall glanced across the yard. White Rose wasn't more than 50 paces out from where he stood, holding court before a semicircle of Greycloaks. He could make that shot with both eyes shut and be in the wind before they realized what happened. He didn't bother. White Rose was another man's enemy,
and that other man had just been dragged away in chains to whatever grim fate lay in the high cells above the garrison. There was no blood between Randall and the nobleman, besides the enmity that glowed in the belly of every son of Cadarajal for the empire that had made a beggar of his proud city. He slipped out through the gate with the first troop of keepers going out on patrol. He left the gray cloak slung over a discarded barrel in an alley for the street boys to find, and he doubled back to the carriage. The driver raised an eyebrow as the sellsword climbed into the carriage alone. Kingmaker had spared him most of the details for the night's adventure, save that he was expecting three. But he knew better than to ask questions. He flicked the reins, and the carriage rattled on.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Wow, we are only one episode away from the end of Act 2. Just as a reminder, after next episode, I will be taking another break for just a few weeks in order to get caught up on work for this story and some other projects. As always, it is a huge help if you leave a like, a comment, a 5-star review. I say this every week, you know what I'm talking about. And if you want to share it with a friend, that would mean the world to me. All right, I will catch you guys next week for the end of Act 2. I'll see you there.